message series for several reasons, one of which is I can't carry anything else, so we're just about down. But if you have missed our baggage series and are here for the first time, we have been talking about all the baggage that we carry around in our world. Excellent. All right, that's that one. Okay, and talking about those things that we carry around that keep us from being the people God's called us to be. When we hold on to these things, when these are things that in our everyday life we make sure that we are dragging behind us, what they do is they slow us down, they wear us out, they make it so that we can't do the things God's called us to do and be the people God's called us to be. So, the first week, we talked about fear. We talked about how fear paralyzes us, keeping us from doing those things, jumping out in faith, stepping out into those, for us, seemingly uncomfortable situations, even if God's called us to that, that fear can keep us from that. Then, we talked about past sin. Well, we talked about past sin. We talked about how, for many people, either things that have come down through your family line or things that you have done in the past that you just can't let go of. Those are things that you keep carrying around, things that you just can't drop. And instead of it being something that burdens you, God wants to use that to bless other people. We talked about unmet expectations, how in families, and we're just somewhere. How in families, how in all sorts of different places in your world, you run into people who have expectations of you that you can't meet, and you put expectations on other people that they can't meet. Those kinds of expectations that are unmet can be baggage that keeps you from being who God wants you to be. Last week, we talked about money and how money can work pretty much with all of these, but money in its own special way can paralyze us and keep us from doing and being the people God's called us to be. This week, to finish up, we are talking about one that is also very important, and it is self-talk. And let me give you an example of what I mean by self-talk. Okay? Not sure why you're laughing yet, but all right. You're not that funny looking. It's all right. All right. Push it down like that. Is that better? Okay. Not too far down. All right. Find the one that looks like you. All right. Now, as an example of self-talk, when you see yourself in this mirror or in your mirror at home, I want you to think about the first three or four things that go through your head. If you are like a significant majority of people, they are not positive. If all that goes through your head is positive, that may be another issue, but if if when you look in the mirror, the things that you hear yourself say are negative, do you see? Not in your world, just in general, with other people and their problems. Do you see how that could keep other people from being how God's called them to be if all they hear is negative things when they look in the mirror? Sarah had a Bible study with college-age girls that she did, and one of the things that it was on self-esteem. And one of the things that the Bible study wanted all of these college-age girls to do was for 5 minutes every morning to stand in front of a mirror naked and not say anything negative to themselves in their head. They came in the next week and they said, if you make us do that again, we're not coming back. Sarah said that some of them were crying every day because of the talk and the negative stuff that was in their head. There is power in the language we use. Power we don't even think about. Because we say it so often and we hear it so much, it seems to us and we have taken it as truth. When you look in the mirror, you go, I am fat. How can anybody love me? Or you say, Boy, this shirt looks bad. I wish I could afford something better. I just can't. Or you say, it's just like 3 gray hairs, right? I don't really look old, right? This kind of talk over and over and over again can start to paralyze you and can start to fracture your understanding of who you are in God's eyes. In our premarital counseling, our counselor, Maria, held up a pencil and talked about, if I were to ask you what this was, what would you say? And we kind of looked at her, and I went, I'm paying you for this. It's a pencil. And she said, well, think about this, though. If you had, from the time you were born, all in your house, and everything that you had heard and everything that you knew was that this was a banana. Hand me the banana. Okay, here you go. Everything you heard and everything you knew was that this was a banana. Then from growing up and learning words, you know that this is a banana. But you go to kindergarten, and the kindergarten teacher says, everybody pull out your pencil. And you go, what? And she comes over and points at this. And you go, that's not a pencil, that's a banana. It has been ingrained in you that this is one certain thing, and there is one word for it. Those are neural pathways that have formed in your brain. Literally, your brain's made a map, pointing out the word banana and this, and drawing a line. Okay? Here's what happens. When we see ourselves, and we have our self-image, and then we have the word ugly, when we draw that line and keep drawing that line, and keep drawing that line, suddenly you can't see you without hearing this word as well. Does that make sense? You with me so far? Here's what you have to do. And so we said, okay, so it's a pencil now, it's not a banana. How do you fix it? How do you fix it? And Maria said, you don't ever fix it. Here's what you have to do. You learn a new word. You start making new connections so that when you see that pencil, instead of banana, you say the word pencil and you start drawing that line. It's almost like learning a second language. You are still going to have this banana and pencil image with you, but once you start making this connection to pencil, if you keep drawing the line, eventually that becomes the first thing that you think of. Okay? Why is this important? Well, this sermon is not just about making you feel good and everything's good and we're all happy, because obviously, if you have been in church or been around people, you know that we are broken and we are sinful and we do bad stuff to each other, sometimes because we want to and sometimes even when we don't mean to. This is not a sermon that just is going to try and let's all feel good and sing kumbaya and go home and eat fried chicken. This is not what this is. I don't want you to check out because you think this is some namby-pamby, touchy-feely thing. What this is baggage. When you have this as a banana, when you have you as either not smart enough, not pretty enough, not good enough, whatever it is, then you start to have some baggage that says, God can't really use me because I'm not good enough. And that is keeping you from being who God's called you to be. This isn't about you developing some sort of egotistical, selfish kind of worldview where you think that you are better than everybody else. No. The idea behind dropping off this baggage of self-talk is so that you can be the person that God has called you to be. Because in Matthew, Jesus talks about that you are supposed to, and this is something that we hear a lot, that you're supposed to love others. How are you supposed to love others? as you love yourself. Okay? If you were to be honest, and again, probably not out loud since we don't talk here, but if you were to be honest with how much love do you have for yourself, that's not a real good gauge of what you're supposed to be doing for others, is it? See, when we think about that passage, for a lot of people, the emphasis is only on loving others. And that's true. Don't hear that that's not part of it. Love others as you love yourself. The implication and the assumption there is that you value who you are and that you think that you are special and important and loved by God. Not just lip service, but really in the core of your being, that you are loved and deeply accepted by God. And because you have experienced that, go make others feel that way too. For us, though, it becomes not only a challenge to love others, but also to allow God to find a way to break through so that we can start loving ourselves. It's not about you being egotistical. It's about you having a right and correct understanding of God's view of you. All right? It's not about you being so self-involved that no one can stand to be in the same place with you. What it is a call for you to not be too good or not to have too high a view or too low a view of yourself, but instead to be centered right where God wants you to be. And I think one of the most powerful, powerful passages in all of Scripture to hear about God's love and depth of that love for you is in the Psalms, and it's Psalm 139. That's our text for this morning. Would you turn to Psalm 139 with me? Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Would you pray with me? God, may these ancient words be new and be fresh and be living in our hearts today. We love you and we thank you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You hear from this passage that before you were even born, God knew who you were. Before you were, God loved you. And you are reminded of the bigness and majesty of God that you can't escape. If you try and get away from God, you try and pull a Jonah, and you are running as far this way as you possibly can, God is still there waiting for you. Wherever you go, God is there. God is above and behind and before and beyond anything that we can comprehend or understand. And this God, who is more than we could ever know, loves you completely. Not because of what you've done or what you haven't done, but because God made you. You are loved and cherished, and when God sees you, God rejoices. We would do well to hear those words and let them sink in. Because for many of us, the self-talk becomes this baggage where we can't hear how much God loves us. Where we can't hear that God has something powerful and important for you to do. Now, God really can't because I'm not smart enough. I don't have that degree. I don't know the right people. I don't have enough money in my bank account. I don't. And God says, I love you. I think you do. When we let our own negative self-talk cloud out the voice of God, we miss out on what God has called us to do. And more than that, we go against the very image of God. What Janet read earlier from the creation account, that God made us in God's image. The second creation account that talks about God taking the dust of the earth and the breath, the spirit of God, and forming them together. That we are dust and spirit joined together in some kind of way that we can't begin to understand. And a lot of times, all we see of ourselves is dust. And God says, no, 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 you are more than that. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. You created my inmost being. You knit me together. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How do we understand ourselves? We are sinful. We are broken. There is a lot of stuff in our life and in our world that is not good. In fact, that goes against what God would want. But that does not mean that we are disqualified from God's love, and it doesn't mean we're disqualified from doing what God's called us to do. When we let these words, whatever those words are in your world, when we let those words be the most important thing we hear, we drown out the voice of God. We drown out the voice of Jesus. Nothing you can do can make God love you more, and nothing you can do can make God love you less. The power and the depth and the love of God is beyond anything you can comprehend. Our goal is not to understand it, but only to accept it. To start the process where we let God into those places. Now remember, we talked about this. This is not a one-time thing. It's not like you're going to pray a prayer this morning and all of a sudden, banana and this are not going to be connected. You aren't going to walk out of here going, you know, gosh, I didn't really feel good about myself when I walked in, but now I'm perfect. Let's go to the cafeteria. No. The point of this is that what God wants you to do is to recognize that this is not a banana. That those things that you are saying to yourself, whatever, when you see you, whatever you line it up with, and whatever you have every day drawn that line, it's time to learn something new. It's time to do something new and to let this baggage go. To start the process of learning a new language. To learn the process of learning God's love for you, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That you have worth and value, and that there is nothing that you can do that can keep you from the love of God. God desperately, desperately wants each of us to transform our world. You know people who are hurting, people who need God's hand and God's touch in a special, special way, and God wants you to be a part of that solution. We can't let any of this stuff keep us. Not so that we can just be better holy people and walk, you know, 2 feet off the ground with our little halos, but because our world is dying. And the good news of Jesus, not just a one-time prayer, but a lifetime commitment that transforms, is what our world needs. And we don't have time to let this stuff keep us paralyzed from doing the things God's called us to do. We can't let it happen as a church, and we can't let it happen as individuals. God wants to use you to change the world. And when you keep thinking, I can't do that, you're missing the opportunity. Drop whatever it is that your baggage is. And we've only talked about 5 of these. But notice there are more bags up here. Maybe we didn't hit on one of the ones that's yours. But whatever it is, God doesn't want you to constantly be dragging that around from now on. God wants to begin the process of you letting that go. I want to work with you. I want to help you. I want to pray for you. Whatever ways that we as a church, or me individually, whatever ways we can do so that we can help you in your journey, I want to be a part of that. God doesn't want this to be our reality. We have too many more important things to be doing. Don't let fear or past sin, or unmet expectations, or money, or negative self-talk, or whatever else, keep you from being the person God's called you to be. We don't have time to be carrying around all this baggage. God wants us to change the world. Are you ready to let whatever it is go? Pray with me.